All right, would you take your Bibles tonight, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. Proverbs, chapter 12, and this evening we're continuing our study in the book of Proverbs about walking in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And certainly the book of Proverbs is a practical book which helps us to know how it is that we ought to act and live and how in the daily course of our lives, the decisions that we ought to make. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 22. Tonight I want to speak to you about the subject of truth and lies. And I've titled the message tonight, Truth Be Told. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 22. The Bible there says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. We want to avoid lying, and we want to learn to speak the truth. And so this evening, we want to look at some principles from the book of Proverbs about this important subject. Father, we pray that You'd meet with us tonight. We know that You give us truth. We know that all that You say to us is truth. And we know, Heavenly Father, that You want us to walk in the truth. And so I pray that You would help us tonight to be challenged in the practical areas of our daily life, and especially with this area of telling the truth. I pray that we would examine ourselves and find how we need the Spirit of God to be able to walk in a way that is pleasing to Thee. We pray You'd meet with us tonight and encourage and challenge our hearts from Your Word. And we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You can see in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 22 that it's an important matter that we tell the truth. It says their lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. The Lord takes this matter of lying or telling the truth very seriously. We know that in our modern culture, it seems that telling the truth is not really that big of a deal anymore. It no longer seems inexcusable in our world for politicians and government leaders to tell bold lies as long as the people still like them and the economy is good. Most people think that as long as they have a good reason, that it's okay to tell a lie. As long as there's a good motivation, as long as my heart is good, you know, you just got to understand I had a good reason, and sometimes you just can't tell the truth. And that is the prevailing sentiment and attitude in our world today. Many people today think that the truth is adaptable, that it changes for every person and every situation. And of course, we know from the Scriptures that that is not the case. Many people think that little white lies and boasting exaggeration are just normal behaviors, and that's how it ought to be, and that's how everybody acts. And we might be tempted tonight to ask the question, well, is this something new? Is this a new development in human history? No. No, the propensity of man's heart, man's sinful heart, towards sin, and especially towards lying, is as old as the rebellion of man in the Garden of Eden. And we know that lying is not something new. Here the book of Proverbs, which is an ancient text, deals with the tendency that man has to lie and warns us of the peril that comes to those who flirt with deceit and forsake the truth of God. So tonight we want to think about some principles about telling the truth, and why we ought to be careful about particularly our speech and be careful to tell the truth. First of all, we want to understand tonight that lying is a transgression. Lying is a sin against God. God is not pleased with lying. You might want to turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Many times people excuse lying, and they say, well, that's an excusable kind of sin. There's nothing wrong with telling a lie. Many people joke about little white lies, or they joke about how they have deceived one person or another in some way through their body language or through just telling them an outright lie. But in the book of Proverbs, it's very clear that God puts a premium on the truth, and God expects us to always speak the truth, no matter what it may cost us personally. Lying is a transgression. Look here in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 5. The Bible says this, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. And that word utter is very interesting. I want you to understand, first of all, that lying is purposeful. Sometimes people think, well, you know, I just accidentally lied. I accidentally bent the truth. I didn't mean to lie, but, you know, it just came out wrong. And no, the truth is that when we tell a lie, we do that on purpose. There is an act of the will that is involved. And that word utter there in chapter 14, when it says that he'll utter lies, it has the idea of a purposeful action. It has the idea of someone who decides, okay, I am making a choice to tell a lie. Now, the reason that we often try to describe lying as something that happens accidentally or, well, it just slipped out of my mouth, you know, I didn't mean to, is because we realize deep down in our heart that it's not right. And so that's a way that we can excuse our lying. But really, when we tell lies, this is a purposeful, willful sin against God. I'm sure that every person in the auditorium tonight can remember some time when you were tempted to tell a lie and you knew it was wrong, and then you heard the words come out of your mouth and you realized, I just told a lie. Lying is purposeful. We need to recognize that lying is willful sin against God. But not only is lying something that we do on purpose, I want you to look here in chapter 14 and at verse 25. That verse says, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Now again, look at the verb that's used there in that verse, in verse 25, speaketh lies. That particular, the tense of the verb is in the present perfect tense. It means that this man speaks a lie and speaks a lie and speaks a lie and speaks a lie. In other words, get this, lying is often a pattern. Not only is lying something that we do willfully or on purpose, but lying can become a pattern in someone's life. In fact, we don't have to go to any special classes to learn how to lie. I never had to teach any of my children how to lie. I never had to teach them how to deceive. I never had to personally take classes in the art of lying. I know in my flesh how to lie very well. I suspect you do too. When he says that this is a continual action, he's demonstrating that lying in people's lives often becomes a pattern of behavior. See, a person who tells a lie, you tell the first lie, and what do you have to do after that? You have to tell another lie to cover up the first lie, and then you have to tell another lie to cover up the first two, and on it goes until you find yourself wrapped in this web of deceit, and you can't seem to get out. You say, how do you get out? Well, the only way is to just tell the truth and face up to the consequences of telling a lie. But lying can become a pattern in someone's life. In fact, in some people, the way that they think and the way that they have behaved in their life, they have become what is sometimes called a compulsive liar. In other words, it's so much a part of their nature that it's as natural to them as breathing to tell a lie. And they just tell one lie after another lie after another lie after another lie. And you say, how could someone get to be that way? Well, really, all of us have the potential to be like that because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And we ought to be aware of the potential that we have to get wrapped up in a web of lies. Lying can become a pattern. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 20. You say, why is it that it can become a pattern? Well, because of what the Bible says here in chapter 12 and verse 20, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Now, you'll note there that Proverbs 12:20 indicates that deceit goes along with evil imaginations. These two are sisters. They go together. And what we're talking about here when we deal with lying is not a matter of the mouth, but a matter of the heart. The reason that lying can become a pattern in someone's life, a habit for them, or something that they easily engage in, is because in their heart, they're accustomed to telling lies. In their heart, they're accustomed to planning how to lie. They'll often have to see, okay, if I'm going to be able to do this, then I'm going to have to tell this lie. And you'll find that people will scheme, and you'll find yourself being tempted in this area of lying. So lying is something that is done on purpose. It's a willful choice. Lying is something that can become a pattern in our lives. It can become something that we plan to do. But third of all, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 18, we find this: lying involves our passions. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18 says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." Now, interesting statement there in verse 18. The idea is of someone, let me illustrate it for you like this. Let's say you're over here, and Ruth, did you hear about Jeremiah? I mean, that guy is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
He is so hard to get along with. He's such a lazy person. He's so horrible. Oh, hi, Jeremiah.
Pastor,
how you doing? Man, I haven't seen it. It's good to see you. You are such a wonderful guy. Hideth hatred with his lips. You see, when you find yourself speaking ill of someone behind their back, but then you see, oh, my best friend. What you're doing is you're lying to hide your hatred. But you see how lies go along with our passions. Our passion is, I hate this person, but I don't want them to know it. I want to tear them down behind their back, but I don't want to tell them to their face. And so this man will find a way to lie with his lips to cover his hatred, because he knows that what's in his heart is not good. Our underlying passion, which is the passion of hatred, inspires many lies. You know, hatred will cause us to lie about someone, will cause us to slander them, to say something about them that is not true to someone else so that we can demean their reputation. It'll also cause us to pretend like we enjoy their company and we admire them when we see them to their face. It's the same motivation, the motivation of hatred. And so we see how these two things go together. Our passions can cause us to lie. Sometimes people will find themselves lying, and oftentimes the reason that we lie, or the situations that we find ourselves being tempted to lie in, are personal relationships. So we have to be careful about that. Lying is involved with our passions. But would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 26? Proverbs chapter 26. By the way, whatever I said about Jeremiah, I was making it up on the spot. So, are we okay? Good. All right. Proverbs 26. What worried me was that his dad was saying amen. Proverbs 26 and verse number 28 says this: "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." So, fourth of all, as we're thinking about lying being a transgression, a sin against God, understand this: lying is a poison. It is poisonous. If you introduce deceit into a relationship, it will poison that relationship. Lying has serious consequences in the lives of those who are around us. And we see here in verse 28 very vivid terms. A lying tongue is someone who hates those that are afflicted by it. That a lying tongue afflicts people. And when we tell a lie to someone or about someone, we are afflicting that person. We are hurting that person. We are transgressing against that person and also against God. But I'll tell you, you introduce lying into a relationship, and that's going to poison the well. Many marriages suffer because the wife doesn't know when and if she can trust her husband to tell the truth. And she says, well, I don't know whether I can trust him or not because he's lied to me so many times. And that can be a very difficult thing. You see, trust is built on knowing that the other person will tell the truth. But lying afflicts those around us. It afflicts those relationships. Imagine the great poison that can be introduced to a family or to a circle of friends by just one individual who is a habitual liar. Lying is a transgression against God. It's not pleasing to the Lord, and certainly God doesn't want us to be involved in this type of behavior. But second of all, understand this. Lying not only is a transgression against God, but lying, second of all, results in trouble in our lives. Now, stop and think with me just for a moment. Why is it that we are tempted to lie? Well, usually because we think that telling a lie is going to fix whatever situation is in front of us. So we think, okay, if I just tell this one lie, then that'll fix this problem. It'll solve this situation. It'll get better. And then all of a sudden, I'll be able to go on and I won't have to tell any more lies. And we think the only way to really get any remedy is to tell a lie. But the opposite is true. So when we tell a lie, what we do is we bring more trouble upon ourselves. God is very clear about His opinion of liars. God deals with lying very strongly, and He describes that here in the book of Proverbs. We think that lying is a small sin, but God says it's a big sin. Now, I'm just going to quantify that a little bit. We think lying is a small sin when we are telling the lies. Now, if someone is lying to us, that's a big deal. You know, don't tell me lies. But, you know, my lies, I don't really lie. That's not something that I'm tempted with. You're a liar. You know, in the good person test, when you talk to people about have they broken God's law, you talk about that, the ninth commandment. You know, have you ever told? Oh, I've never told a lie. Come on. You expect me to believe that? No, we all understand what it is to lie. Consider what the liar will have to face, though, as a result of his sin. If a person involves themselves in lying, what is the consequence? What is it that will take place in their lives? Turn with me, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 6. The first verse that we looked at in Proverbs 12:22 told us that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16 is a list of things that God hates. It says there, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. A lying tongue is number two on the list. And hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Look at verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. You'll note that in this list, in verse 17, he speaks about a lying tongue, and in verse 19, he speaks about a false witness that speaketh lies. Why is it that God puts this sin twice in this list of things that He hates? I think it's because God sees this as a very serious sin. The person who is a liar is detested by God. This is an abomination to God. The word abomination is very strong. Do you see the difference between how we tend to view lying and how God views lying? We like to justify our sin. We like to say, well, I've got my reasons. You've got to understand how it is. But God is not giving any excuses. God says it's an abomination. It's not right. It's something that God hates. God feels very strongly about lying. And we ought to develop the same viewpoint. Now again, we ought to develop the same viewpoint about our lying. Not everybody else's. And this is where we often, we can be valiant in this area. I hate lying. What do you mean you hate lying? Do you hate lying in other people or do you hate lying in yourself? Because we often give ourselves a pass where we are very difficult with other people. This man who involves himself in lying finds himself in a place where he's not right with God. He's detested by God. But second of all, look in Proverbs. Well, we're close to chapter 12. So if you would look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 19, we're thinking about the trouble that comes from lying. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 19 says this, "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." You see, really, a lie, telling a lie, is just a momentary relief. It's just a momentary escape from a situation. But as we've already pointed out, it's only going to result in telling more lies. It's only going to back us into a corner where we're either going to have to face the truth or we're going to have to tell more lies. And if we tell more lies, we're going to have to tell more lies. And pretty soon we're going to get caught. Eventually, you're going to get caught if you try to cover your sin with lies. It's better just to face the truth. This man, second of all, who tells lies, is destined for shame. It's sure that the man who gets gain by lying will not enjoy that gain for very long. There's another verse in the book of Proverbs, which we're not going to look up, and it goes something like this. I'm not going to quote it exactly, but it is not, saith the buyer. Then when he goeth his way, he boasteth. What does that mean? Well, he's standing there to buy it. He tells the guy he's buying it from, man, this thing's a piece of junk. It's not worth anything that you're asking for it. This thing, look at this problem it's got. Look at this thing that's wrong with it. It's nothing. It's not worth. And he talks him down and gets the price that he wants. Then he goes away and he says, look what I got. Oh, man, I got a great price on this. What was he doing? He was lying. He was lying. He was trying to pretend like he didn't really want it, trying to act like it wasn't that valuable. Then when he got the price talked down, he could say, look what I did. Look at the deal that I got. It's just a way of lying. You say, what if somebody gets gain by lying? They're not going to enjoy that gain for very long. Eventually, their deceit is going to catch up with them. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 17. Eventually, the man who tells lies, his lies are going to be revealed. It's going to come out that he's been lying. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man. Oh, it feels so good to tell that lie and to get away with it. But afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Oh, that's descriptive, isn't it? How'd you like to take a bite of cinnamon roll tomorrow and just be savoring that? Oh, it's so good. And all of a sudden, what is that? It's gravel. Chewing on gravel. Blah! Gross. That's what it is to tell a lie. If you tell lies, you're going to find that eventually you're destined for shame. You think that you're going to get away with your lies, but the liar thinks, oh, well, everybody thinks I'm telling the truth. But think about this. Once somebody becomes known for telling lies, they get a reputation for that, don't they? And people start to take notice of their lies and they pay attention to their lies. And the person who's telling lies thinks everybody believes me. And everybody else is like, man, you can't believe a word that person says. They're such a liar. They're destined for shame. Their reputation becomes attached to their behavior of lying. Third of all, lying results in trouble because the man who lies will be destroyed by God. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 5. The Bible says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Look at verse 9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Isn't that interesting? It's repeated twice in Proverbs chapter 19, almost exactly the same wording to remind us that there is a high cost to telling lies. It's going to cost you something if you engage in telling lies. Eventually, you're going to find yourself in a place where your lies are going to get you caught. You see, the liar, he tells all these lies, and then he even lies to himself, convincing himself that he'll never get caught. Only what's going to happen is he is going to get caught. The truth is, eventually, he'll be caught and he'll be punished. You say, well, I know somebody who told a whole bunch of lies and they never got caught. Oh, they got caught because God knows. And even if someone gets away with it in this life, one day they're going to stand before God and they're going to face God for those lies that they have told. Those lies are very serious. We ought to be careful about the habit of telling lies. Be careful about allowing mistruths because lying results in trouble. Lying is a transgression against God. Lying will result in trouble. But let's think about this from the positive side for a few moments tonight. And third of all, consider this. Telling the truth brings triumph. It's hard sometimes to tell the truth, isn't it? It's hard in a situation where you know that if you tell the truth, it's going to cost you. But in the end, telling the truth, no matter how difficult it is going to be rewarded by God. It's worthwhile to be a truthful person, and you and I ought to pursue that in our lives. We ought to pursue the goal of being completely truthful in every area of our lives. Now, I realize we're not fully sanctified. So I doubt if any of us are going to get to the place where we're never tempted to lie again. But we ought to do everything that we can in the power of the Holy Spirit to be absolutely truthful in our lives. To speak the truth in love. Now, let's think about this from the book of Proverbs, though. Look, first of all, in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 23 says this, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Now, we understand that in the context, the truth that is being referred to here is God's truth. And the idea is grab a hold of the truth and don't let it go. But there's also a principle that I believe is found here in verse 23, and that is this, that you and I need to make a decision for truth. We need to choose truth. Remember, I said that when we tell a lie, we make a choice to tell a lie. In the same way, we ought to choose to tell the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Cling to the truth. Learn to value the truth. Teach your children how important the truth is. This particular verse is describing the importance and the value of truth in our daily lives. You know, the truth is something worth buying. It's something worth getting. We wouldn't want God to lie to us, would we? And we ought not to be spinning a web of deceit in the lives of those around us. The truth is really a long-term investment that we should never forsake. But the truth is something that we have to consciously choose in the interactions, in the daily decisions of our lives. Every day we have to think, you know, I'm going to tell the truth. Even when it's difficult, I'm going to tell the truth. Even when I'm in a situation where the boss says, "Did you do that?" And I don't want to tell him that I did it, but you know what? I did it. And so I need to admit it. I need to face the truth. We need to learn to tell the truth. And you say, but the truth is difficult. The truth might destroy my career. The truth might affect my reputation. I'm going to tell you tonight, lying will affect you much more than telling the truth will. We need to learn to value the truth. There is a decision that we need to make. I think as parents, we ought to teach our children to value the truth. We ought to teach them that, yes, There may be consequences when you tell the truth, but telling the truth is what you should always do. Telling the truth is valuable. Sometimes, and as a father with young children, sometimes little kids tell lies that are really cute, aren't they? And you know that it's ridiculous what they're saying. And it sounds so funny, but we ought to be careful not to pass that over, because that can become a habit in their life. That can become something that would be a dominating characteristic of who they become. And so before you snicker and laugh at those little lies and make it to be something cute, remember that that's a very destructive tendency. It may be cute and funny when they're 3, but when they're 30, it's not funny anymore. When they're 13, it's not funny anymore. Now all of a sudden there's things that you've got to deal with, and we ought to try to deal with those when our children are young. We need to make a decision for truth. We ought to teach by our example that the truth is something that we value. We ought to always seek to tell the truth no matter how difficult it is. Second of all, notice in Proverbs chapter 13, if you would, there's something about our desire. You see, there's a decision we need to make towards the truth, but there's also something about a desire that we need to cultivate. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 5, the Bible says this, "A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame." I know, at the risk of sounding repetitive, I'm going to say this again. In verse 5, the righteous man is not hating the lying all around him, so much as he is hating lying in his own life. He abhors when he is tempted to lie. He abhors when he steps into that sin of lying. The righteous man hates lying. He doesn't tolerate that in his own life. He has a desire that he has cultivated to say, I want to tell the truth. A righteous man is someone who cultivates a desire to tell the truth. Look at chapter 12 and verse number 17. The Bible there says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. That phrase, showeth forth, has the idea of manifesting or demonstrating or picturing. It's like an illustration. How do we show righteousness? When we speak the truth. When we speak the truth, and it's difficult, and people know that it's difficult, that manifests righteousness. That shows that we are making the right decision. You say, well, that's not that hard to do. Yes, it is that hard to do. And I'm going to propose to you tonight, that's really something that requires the filling of the Holy Spirit to be absolutely truthful. But we ought to cultivate this desire in our lives. I want to be truthful. I don't want to deceive myself. I don't want to deceive others. I want to make sure that I have a desire towards truth. Chapter 8, verse 7. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. I don't want to allow wickedness to pass my lips. I don't want my mouth to speak something that is not true. Lord, help me to speak the truth. Help me to resolve in my heart to speak the truth, that the truth might be that which is valuable to me. The desire of the righteous is that he wants to tell the truth. And when a righteous man finds himself sinning and telling a lie, it's a grief to his soul. He realizes, boy, I've offended God. I've done wrong. I need to make that matter right. That if you find yourself telling a lie, that ought to bother you. That ought to concern you. That ought to be something that you want to make right between you and the Lord. And if you've lied to someone else, you want to make that right between you and that other person. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 with me. We just looked at this verse a moment ago, we looked at verse 17. We want to look two verses down now. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 19. Consider this as we think about telling the truth, bringing triumph in our lives. Proverbs 12, 19 talks about the duration of the truthful person. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Now, we looked at this from the opposite side a few minutes ago, and we talked about how telling a lie is just a temporary reprieve. But you know, when you tell the truth, you don't have to go back and tell a lie to cover up the truth, because it's the truth. It's just, that's what it is. Okay, I told the truth. I don't have anything to be ashamed of. Even if it was something that you did wrong and you told the truth about it, you don't have to be ashamed of what you told because you told the truth. The duration of the truthful. God says that the truthful lips, the truthful man shall be established forever. God deals in truth. God is establishing truth. He's actively establishing truth. Now you say, but we live in a world that's full of deceit, and it seems like lies are winning out. But lies aren't going to win. In the end, God's truth is going to win. The duration of truthfulness is forever. If we cling to that which is true, then we find that truthfulness will endure. Many times we feel compelled to lie because we're afraid that the truth will damage us in some way. We think, if I tell the truth, this is going to cause damage. This is going to hurt my marriage if I tell the truth. This is going to hurt my job if I tell the truth. This is going to hurt this business relationship if I tell the truth. This is going to hurt my kids if I tell the truth. It's actually the other way around. Okay, so when we think about this from the positive side, telling the truth is what God rewards. This verse reveals to us that the way to be established, to be secure in your home, to be secure in your friendships, to be secure in your marriage, to be secure at your job and every other part of your life is to be faithful in telling the truth in every situation. We must tell the truth. We can't even shade the truth a little bit. We've got to be careful to make sure that we tell the truth, lest we find ourselves being found out. Proverbs chapter 14 is the fourth area of blessing that comes to those who are truthful. Look at this, verse 25. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 25. I think this verse is so interesting. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. A true witness delivereth souls. You think about this. When we tell the truth, this has an effect not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. And fourth of all, I want you to consider this, that telling the truth can deliver a soul. I think there's an interesting perspective here in verse 25 of a soul winner, of someone who goes and tells the truth to people who don't really want to hear the truth. People who don't necessarily want to come face to face with their sin. And yet, brethren, we know this, if they don't recognize that they're sinners, they're not going to get saved. We've got to confront them with some uncomfortable truth. We've got to help them. And we don't need to be rude about it. We ought to be cautious. We ought to make sure that we are helping them to understand, but we ought to speak the truth. You know, I can't look at somebody who has a false religion, who has a false belief, and assure them, oh, it'll be okay because as long as you're sincere, God will accept that. That's not the truth. The truth is that it actually matters what people believe. You see, a true witness delivers souls, but a false witness, a deceitful witness, speaketh lies. The inference of the passage is that instead of delivering souls, he causes destruction of souls. How many so-called preachers today are preaching a message that is nothing but a lie? It is the complete opposite of what God says in His Word, and as such, they are causing destruction in people's souls. Can you imagine those false teachers standing before God one day and giving an account for having caused destruction in the lives of those that they were, quote unquote, ministering to? We ought to be so careful that the words we speak are true. Sometimes it's very difficult to tell lost men about the truth of their destiny, of their eternal soul without Christ. But we're liars if we lead lost ones to believe that they're safe in their false religion. We ought not to be deceitful witnesses. We ought to be true witnesses. When we speak the truth, we deliver souls. Now, I think if people are going to believe us when we speak to them about their eternity, we're going to be truthful in every other area of our lives. We're going to have a reputation for being a truthful person. You can't be known as the office liar and then turn around and say to people, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, you're not going to make it to heaven. People aren't going to believe you because they're going to equate your behavior in other areas with what you're saying to them about their soul. I think the most important area for truthfulness is in the area of eternity and the simple truth of salvation. So there's an application of this verse when it comes to being a soul winner to the deliverance of souls. But you know, there's also an application in our lives to when we tell the truth, there is deliverance for our soul. We get ourselves out of sticky situations when we tell the truth. When we tell a lie, we just burrow down deeper and deeper into those sticky situations. We find ourselves deeper and deeper into things that are not pleasing to the Lord. Oh, brethren, we ought to be so careful about the way that we speak to one another, about the impressions that we give. We ought to be careful to tell the truth. Look with me again, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, where we started tonight. We looked at the negative side of this. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. But look at the second part of that verse. But they that deal truly are his delight. You know, God delights in us telling the truth. He delights in us communicating the truth. I believe that God knows when it's difficult for us to tell the truth. And he recognizes when we have done that. And I made mention of this already in the message, but you understand tonight this is really not possible apart from the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. We need God's power in order to be truthful individuals. It is pleasing to God when we are truthful with one another, when we are truthful with ourselves, and when we are truthful with God. It pleases the Lord. God doesn't want us to be liars, but he wants us to tell the truth. And so this week, we're ending 2017, getting ready to start a new year. Maybe in your life, you need to say, hey, this is something that I really need to work on. But sometimes patterns can develop in our lives and we don't even recognize, or we find that it's very easy for us to tell a lie, and we ought to be careful about that. Maybe in this area, God has challenged you and you need to make some decisions, some willful choices to say, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to ask the Lord to help me to tell the truth. I'm going to determine in my daily life to tell the truth, because telling the truth is pleasing to the Lord, and telling the truth brings triumph in our lives.